Yeah, it's Pulse with the sports. You don't need another report. Bleed in green till I D-I-E. Hold it down for the best team. We in first place, we the Celtics. Try to shoot it, we ain't let ya. Finna go and win a ring. Giving fades like I'm Kyrie. You the opposition, can't score, yeah. Homie, you ain't even on the floor, yeah. Big buckets and big shots. Better check the time on the shot clock. Got my shooters on me, they wet you up. It's a 30-footer, I ain't letting up. Scary Terry with the dancing bear. Gonna light it up like it ain't fair. Dunk it on you like Rozier. Fourth quarter, we in fifth gear. I got Tatum, I got Brown. I got Marcus locking you down. Grab a broom, it's a sweep. Score 100 on our feet. Celtics Pulse, we the team. And we don't accept defeat, yeah.
All right, guys, welcome to another episode of Celtics Pulse, brought to you by Tix Blitz.
Have you been searching for the best ticket deals around? Well, look no further. With Tix Blitz, the price you see is the price you pay. And Tix Blitz just happens to have over $6 billion in ticket inventory just waiting for you. They absolutely mean it when they say every ticket, every venue, everywhere. And you can save even more with promo code PULSE in all caps to save you 5% off your total purchase. Just go to TixBlix.com and click the search bar. Search events based on your geographic location. Pick the show you want, and bam, it's showtime. Sporting events, Broadway shows, concerts, and more with TixBlix.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for the email newsletter so you can stay up to date on the latest news and savings with TixBlix. That's TixBlix.com, TixBlix.com. Every ticket, every venue, everywhere.
All right, and today we have myself, Derek.
I'm Brendan. I'm on here today.
And how are we doing? Cody in the building.
All right, cool. So, yeah, we're going to first we'll do a quick recap of the two games back since the All-Star break. So, the first one there was the heartbreaker to the Bucks. So, yeah, I mean, who wants to go first in their takeaways from the one-point loss to the Bucks?
I guess I'll start. Al Horford played very well in that game. I will say that. That was a great game for Al. You know, I always say there are two types of Al Horford. There's good Al Horford, and then there's soft Al Horford. We got good Al Horford, 21-17-5. Kyrie Irving did not play. He played very, very well down at the ends, but he started off atrocious. I think he was shooting 2-for-12 at one point in the beginning of the third quarter. Not the best, but he did finish with 22. That questionable call driving to the rim, which I guess whatever that league thing where they come out with, you know,
a two-minute report.
A two-minute report thing said that he was fouled twice. What are you going to do about it? But it was a very good defensive game. No team scored over 100 points, where especially if a player like Giannis on the floor and Kyrie Irving on the floor, each of those guys can go for 40 every night, any night. Giannis did his thing, 30-13 with 6 assists. Chris Middleton was held in check only 15 points, 13 rebounds though for him.
Except for Money Time. Yeah. He had a dagger 3, but go ahead.
Yeah. You know, Splash Mountain, Brooke Lopez, now my favorite players, 10-8. So, like, you know, box score doesn't exactly say, you know, box score numbers don't really tell the whole truth. Like you mentioned, clutch time, that's where it really it came down to. Kyrie Irving stepped up, and Chris Middleton had that big 3. And the Celtics on the road this year have been extremely disappointing. Extremely disappointing on the road. One of the worst road records for the top playoff teams in the league. But I think losing to 1 point in Milwaukee against the best team in the league, I think we played well enough to be in that game and to have it that close. I'm okay with that loss.
All right. Yeah. So I just want to say that 2 minute report you mentioned where they'll tell you what calls the ref missed. I hate that. It just gets fans angry. You start to lose trust in the NBA and the refs.
And it does no good for anybody.
Yeah, like you have you send a report to the refs and you reprimand them, and you if it comes down to it, you got to start finding them or start grading. I'm sure they already grade them, but I just hate the 2 minute report. It just adds frustration on top of frustration. Go ahead, man.
No, it's almost like when you get your test back and you got a pretty good score, then you realize that you got some answers wrong and they checked them right. So you go to the teacher and say, hey, I got these wrong. What are you doing?
Exactly.
You're just dropping your test score. You're just dropping your test score.
Oh, you're leaving for school on this Friday, so if you forgot to assign homework, what the fuck? Like, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
I don't like it. It's annoying, and I just want to get rid of it.
Yeah, I agree.
There were a lot of errors in that report, too. Like, there was the jump ball on the other end that apparently the Bucks should not have had a 24-second violation there with that Brook Lopez tip-in, which was just a weird rule. I don't like how that rule works, but... Yeah, I mean, in regards to the game, it was just the first game back from the All-Star break, too. Like, around the league, there were so many air balls I watched in the last two days. Like, nobody could shoot, and everybody looked a little more tan. So, everybody really took some breaks, you could tell. But it was, yeah, I mean, like you guys said, we were competitive at the very least. I would have liked to see Jalen get some more minutes at the end. I'd like to see him start closing games a little more often. He shot the best
like
on our team.
Exactly, exactly. So we'll transition to this. But Terry Rozier had the worst game, had one of the worst games I've seen against the two-game stretch. But it's just been – it was just a frustrating night to lose by 1 point there. But, yeah, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I'm ready to not have Terry be getting minutes, really. Like, I don't know where his place is on this team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I mean, it's come to that. He has just been poor shot selection and just not running the offense. And just whenever he's on the court, it's just – it's bad. So I'm with you. I mean, if it means Wanamaker, if it means moving Marcus over to the one, I don't know. But, yeah, I'm with it.
Maybe giving him a couple did-not-plays coach's decisions puts him in check because I think he has the ability to contribute on this team. I was happy that we were keeping him, at least for a while, until recently, because I thought he'd be able to be a decent contributor for this year come playoffs. But if you're going to shoot it every time you get the ball and you can't pass very well, it's like he just needs to be put in check.
No, I agree. I mean, I think first of all, when we were doing episodes a month or so ago, I was like, I fully expected Terry to be moved at the All-Star break. So
agreed.
I can't. So I'm a bit surprised we still have him. I thought it was best for everybody, you know, the team. And he wasn't. He's still. It seems like that trade value. You keep waiting for it to go back up to maybe what it was to start the year, and it's just getting lower and lower. And you're like, Jesus. I mean, this guy is not only hurting his own. You know, he's in a free agency year, but he's hurting the Celtics. If we have any hopes of a sign and trade with this guy, it's – I don't know. I'm frustrated with Terry like you, and I agree. If you want to do a DNP, I'm with it. I mean, you got to send a message.
Yeah, so Terry off the court is our highest offensive rating, and he leaves us at a 10.5 overall net rating. It's just like – it's night and day.
I mean – We've said it, man. Terry, I don't know. I thought going up against Milwaukee, he's got the rivalry with Bledsoe. They don't like each other, and I love that. Last year, Terry outplayed Bledsoe and was one of the better players in the series for the Celtics. I mean, he played unbelievable. So if he can't do it against the same team, if it's just – I mean, I thought that was a perfect scenario for him coming back in the All-Star break. Going against the guy you've, you know, got a rivalry with and have kind of owned in Eric Bledsoe, and it just got worse. So, yeah, there's not much – as far as opportunities, he's had plenty of them, and I think Brad really needs to step up his game here and make a tough decision and, you know, either slash his minutes considerably or, like you said, a DNP.
Yeah, Brad loves to let them just go. Like, you saw that with Jalen, you saw that with Terry, you saw that with Gordon – he just lets them go until they figure it out. Two of those three names have kind of figured it out. And the one that hasn't still is Terry Rozier. Like Brendan mentioned, every time he touches the ball, you just expect a shot. Basically, every time he's on the court and he gets the ball in his hands, all you do is sit in your chair and sigh because you know this is going to be a shitty three-point he's going to chuck up. You know, and he's not that great of a playmaker. And he really has – it's just adapting to his role. He's not the lead guy right now. He was great in that role. Every time he starts, he has a really good game. every time, you know, like when he is asked to be the guy, he plays good. But he is not the guy right now. Kyrie played 40 minutes last night, which means that Terry Rozier at most would get 7 minutes being the guy. He plays 23 minutes a game. He's offensive. He just stalls our offense at like second quarter of last. Look at the Bulls game by quarter. First quarter, we outscored the Bulls by 5. Third quarter, we tied. Fourth quarter, we outscored them by 3. In the second quarter, we scored 18 points. The Chicago Bulls scored 36 points.
That's a story of the season, though. That third quarter is just – that's a story of the season. But with Terry also, I mean, in the Bucks game, he had – in the fourth quarter, he was still, like, on the floor, like, with under 10 minutes left. And he had wide open threes, wide open, like at least three or four of them, and he just couldn't get to knock them down. I mean, you got to kind of feel for that. That's not necessary. I mean, he had an open shot. You got to, if he's on the floor and he's that open, he's got to take it. But he's just, he can't. It's like NBA Jam, man. It can't buy a bucket. It's just all going wrong this year, and I feel bad too because he was such a fun story last year. Scary Terry. You know, the Drew Bledsoe thing. It was just really cool. And just the drastic change this season. It's, you know, it's not something I think he anticipated or anybody anticipated, but here we are.
Yeah. And I mean, my thing is that we have a serviceable backup. Like you mentioned Brad Wanamaker. I really like him. I think that he could play 15 minutes a night and be a better distributor. He can play decent defense. He hustles. And he hits shots weirdly. Like I've seen him hit a good amount of. It feels like transition threes. He nails them.
I'm a Brad
weirdly.
Guy. He does.
Yeah, I feel like I would give him 15 minutes over Terry.
I don't. I mean, at this point, yeah. I mean, it's tough to say no. Terry's last episode. I was like, you know, Terry's still better than Brad, and I still think he is. But man, this year has been tough. I mean, at this point, yeah, you just got to next man up. You got to see, all right, Terry, we gave you every opportunity, and it's just, you know, right now we're trying to get a playoff seed that doesn't have us going on the road for four games, you know, for every round. So we need to start winning, and we need to start winning now. I know after the losses, Kyrie is like changed his tune, being calm and cool and not overreacting, like, hey, you know what? You know, this – yeah, we didn't play well. We lost, but it doesn't matter. We're in a 7-game series. I don't think anybody can beat us. And, I mean, okay, but I just think you can't, you know, rest your laurels on we don't need to try until, you know, April, May. It's just not going to work. So, I don't know. I think Brad needs to really shake it up. You know, no more Terry. If we want to talk about Mook as well, he's been struggling. I think Mook goes back to the bench as far as who replaces him, Gordon, Jalen. You know, that's, I guess, up for debate. But I just think, you know, you got to shake it up.
Yeah, I agree. I'm ready to switch up the starting lineup for sure. I've been saying Morris out of here for a couple weeks at this point.
Yeah, we have. We all have. I mean, no one's really at that. I mean, at first I was like, oh, Morris has been great, but yeah, he's really come down to earth. So, I mean, would you go Gordon? I think I would go Gordon over Jalen, but Jalen's been great, man, lately. He's been, great might be a stretch. That might be a homer take, but I just like Jalen. Jalen's, you know, I know you guys do too. So, yeah. But,
I can see them going Jalen over Gordon because I feel like having Gordon on the bench, at least still right now, he's getting better. You can see it, obviously. But especially if you're not going to play Terry that much, if they do, like, listen and actually, like, watch that. Does Brad watch the games? Because I'm a little upset that he probably doesn't because he's not seeing that Terry's struggling. So if they
come on.
I'm sorry. I'm getting there. But yeah, if Terry does get reduced minutes, then you need that ball handle on the second unit. And if you really don't want to play Wanamaker, that's how you can use Gordon. He's a good playmaker. He has been. You know, he's never been a 10-assist guy, but he's been in the 4-6 range most of his career when he started and played really good minutes. He can play that. And also putting the ball in his hands forces him to be – I've been saying that all year. You force Gordon to play, he's going to play okay. So I think Jalen, the starting lineup, it gives you that defense you like. You know, it gives him – it's most likely going to be him at the 3, move Tatum down to the 4. And then you have to keep Marcus Smart in the starting lineup. I don't care what you do. You have to
keep Marcus Smart in the starting lineup. Yeah, I'm very much on board with that as well. Smart is – he's a starting player. And it's just such a good compliment to Kyrie as far as defensively. Yeah. And I just –
perfect.
Yeah. I do not want to do anything that might be perceived as slight to Marcus because he's just been – he's been great, man.
No, yeah. He's been tremendous. And, you know, that's why I say you keep him in there. It would be a smaller lineup for sure. But that's how the NBA is going anyway. And that's probably a big reason why Lauri Markkanen had a field day. He had 35 on him. And especially with Baines being out, which we'll get into because I know we have opinions on our favorite center in the league.
All right.
I don't know. It's tough. That's why I personally was on the bandwagon that the Celtics needed another Aaron Baines on the roster at the trade deadline because Aaron Baines has been hurt. And I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, when Zach LaVine and Markkanen are combining for 80 points on you, that's not great. But I mean, LaVine, when he's healthy, he's a stud. But I can't fathom. Like, I mean, I'm looking at the rest of the Bulls like lineup. I mean, Otto Porter barely played. Did he get hurt? He must have, right? Or is he just not playing?
I don't know. He's been really good since he went there. I think he was averaging like 20 plus since the trade.
Then maybe he got hurt early because he had points and zero, like he had a lot of zeros against the Celtics.
Yeah, it's right here. So Otto Porter Jr. leaves the game with strained lower left leg.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought I remembered him getting hurt, but I mean, it was essentially just Markkanen and LaVine that just killed you. I mean,
Robin Lopez dropped 17 as well.
Yeah, the Lopez really brothers, dude. The Lopez brothers did us in, dude. You got Brooke hitting threes, and then Robin just down low having a field day.
Splash mode.
So
you guys mentioned the starting lineup a bit. I'm good with making changes there, but for me, more so, it's about who's closing. And
yes.
I think you have Kyrie and Marcus in there, and then Tatum and Al, and then who's that fifth?
Gordon.
Probably Gordon, yeah.
Or Jalen. Now, see, here's the thing. If you want to play offense, defense, if you will, like, you know, if there's like a foul or there's a timeout.
Swapping like Kyrie and Marcus.
You can get Kyrie out and get Jalen in and keep Marcus at the, you know, do something like that. So, you know, that's where Brad has to do his thing and, you know, be the boy genius that we think he is. But
if I see Terry Rozier play one more close fourth quarter, I'm throwing my shoe against the TV.
I know. That was brutal.
Yeah.
And man, Morris, I don't necessarily, especially in clutch time, you know, we talked about outside of Kyrie, who would you like to take a game, you know, a game-winning shot, so to speak. Morris has shown that he can do that. He's ice cold, man, when he comes to like, you know, what am I trying to say here? He doesn't get rattled, I guess is the best way to put it. That play at the end of the game was designed for Morris.
Yeah, and you see him
Morris
get held a little
groped.
Bit there.
He got groped.
Yeah.
He got groped.
Yeah.
And there should have been two foul calls. So apparently Brad agrees that Morris down the stretch is a very good option. And I agree too. And, you know, I'm talking about getting him out of the starting lineup, but I don't think he's a very good player. And I would love to see what happens with him in this, you know, offseason with his pending free agency because, I mean, on a really good team like the Celtics, a guy like Morris is invaluable. So it's interesting to see what happens there. But
yeah, I have a question for you. Do you find it a little bit concerning? I wouldn't say concerning, but a little odd that Brad doesn't – like, he hasn't gone to Kyrie with those game-winning opportunities that – like, there have been multiple times. I remember second game of the season against the Knicks. They drew that – you know, that last shot was for Tatum. And the Orlando game in Orlando when they gave it to Tatum.
So that wasn't drawn up for Tatum. He was the second option. And
was he?
Yeah,
and, Gordon waited.
Hayward, yeah, Gordon kind of, and that's why Kyrie got into it with Gordon. Like, dude, it was there. You just didn't. You weren't. I don't know. You panicked and gave it to Tatum. So, yeah.
Brad really likes. I mean, he's done this for a while. That using the guy that you expect them to go to as a decoy. Like he did this with IT a lot, where, like in that last Milwaukee play, that's pretty much what it was. He used the screen that Irving set and then was expecting them to focus on Irving and Morris would be wide open. And it pretty much would have worked if Middleton didn't practically clothesline him. But It's just what he does a little bit. But I do think at some point you just need to get the ball to your best player. And Kyrie's one of the most clutch guys in the league.
That was bullshit, Kyrie. He was out of control.
Yeah, it was bad.
And yeah, he might have got fouled, but like, if you weren't fouled, what were you doing there?
Like, I've never seen him hit a left-handed shot like that.
Yeah, like, dude, you are a stop on a dime, pull up assassin or fadeaway. Like, we've seen it. I mean, I don't know. I would have been fine if he just dribbled the ball up at the top of the key and then just chucked it, because that's his shot now. I mean, if it's 30 feet deep, top of the key, he's like 60%. So. Let's do it. Like, fuck it. I know we only needed one, but apparently him driving to the bucket, and he was kind of out of control. I think he was fouled. I mean, no doubt about it. He was fouled, but he wasn't going to the hole with much of a plan, in my opinion.
To answer your question, I think yes. I think Kyrie needs the ball in his hand in the last play of the game.
Yeah, I agree. To be fair, I mean, Kyrie is probably one of the top three finishers of all time. So, I mean, like, him going to the rack, no matter what, looks like a good idea. I agree he was a little out of control. He was getting bombed. He was getting pushed. But regardless, like, he hit one of the top five most important shots in NBA history.
Yep. Like, I mean, it's up there.
He's clutch. I mean, you know, people continuously comparing to Kobe Bryant in that regard, which, here or there with that, but. I mean,
does Kobe doesn't have a moment like that though? Does Kobe have an NBA Finals Game 7 shot? Like, come on! I mean, that
like
Kobe,
one shot. Yeah,
yeah. Does he have one?
I mean, I don't think we can deny Kobe wasn't clutch.
He was clutch, but he doesn't have the moments. Like, Kyrie has big game moments. Kobe had some game winners. I feel like a lot of them were regular season. I mean, I'm just. Going on
no, I agree.
There,
I don't know. My boy Joe is a Kobe hardo, so I'll let him. Yeah, I'll let you.
If he has any finals, because when I think of Kobe, I think of Game 7 against the Celtics, where he was horrendous and got bailed out. So that's me being a Celtic. That's me being a Celtic fan, LA Laker hater all the way. But I actually, you know. So, but with that being said, yeah, Kyrie top five biggest shot in NBA history. There's a pretty good argument.
And you just put the ball in his hands. You just get him, just clear him out, set an elevator screen at the top of the key. And yes, Morris has been able to hit the big three. And yes, Tatum has been able to hit the big three, the big shot at the end of the game. So have them on the court and just let Kyrie create. You know,
if they double him, he's a really good passer now.
So bing, I'm saying, hey, against the Jazz, I don't think that play was drawn up for Steve Kerr. Just happened that he was open.
Yeah.
No, exactly.
You know, gave it to Jordan, let him create. Like, you gave it to Kyrie, let him create. They're going to have to double him. There's not one single player on this planet that can guard Kyrie Irving one-on-one.
Maybe
he's probably on our team.
Yeah, right, exactly. I was thinking the same thing.
So there you go.
They got the ball into Kyrie's hands. He just kind of drove to the hole on the left side, which – again, he has a left hand, but like that far out from the hoop, it was just an ugly shot. That's not the look that you want there. I mean, I would have much rather
a better look.
I want to step back every time from him. I don't know.
Fade, like you said, he loves fading on that left side.
I know. It's just, but
just
ask
Paul to come back.
Right. So with that being said, man, it's one game. You know, in the Bucks game, I was encouraged by him. Like, all right, we're going toe-to-toe with the best team in the East, and they're building. You know, we're holding Giannis in check, especially clutch time. Giannis kind of disappeared.
Yeah.
It's one thing about Giannis, man. He's a great player, but down the stretch, you just leave him open and say, go ahead. Because that's just not – he can drive and dunk on anybody, but if you don't let him drive, if you clog the lane, he's not as effective. And so when I talk about, you know, everyone's debating now who's the MVP, Giannis is right there. If you want to give it to Giannis, I'm not going to argue with you. But with a minute left in the game, who are you scared of? Is it James Harden, Paul George, or Giannis?
Giannis is last on that list.
I think he definitely is. I think he's behind Kyrie. I mean, let's be real. Yeah. But But Giannis is a I love Giannis. He's the best player in the East. Despite me saying all this, I think he's the best player in the East just because how dominant he is for the first 45 minutes, you know?
Yeah, I think the Celtics have done a really good job of figuring him out. One of the best teams, if not the best in the league, at it. Like we saw it last year in the playoffs. But it's different with their coaching now. But they can throw so many different guys on him. Like they started with Al on him. They'll throw Shemmy on him at some point.
Thank you. I was just going to say, where was Shemmy? We started Shemmy from game six and seven in the Milwaukee series last year we were having problems with you. And I didn't see him at all on the other night. So, like, where was Shemmy? Did I miss it?
Yeah, no. I mean, he should have been there more. He didn't. He had 12 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, he was, again, I know this team is deep and everything else, and Shemmy's very limited, but one thing he does well is he defends Giannis. So,
well, to be fair, earlier, the ESPN game earlier on this year, right around Christmas time, Semi got rocked by Giannis. Giannis ate Semi alive earlier this year.
Sure. So maybe
Semi is our Giannis stopper, but Giannis legit said, "You're going to be my little boy for the rest of the night."
Like, no, he dunks on everybody, dude.
It wasn't even just dunking. He was literally just bullying Semi all night. It was kind of upsetting to watch. I was like, that's one guy who can stop him.
All-time talent versus... I mean, again, Semi just has
to... Totally.
I know, Semi. But my point is, if he can't even guard Giannis anymore, then he really has no point on this team. I'm sorry. The only purpose I had for Semi was, he guards Giannis well. If he can't do that anymore... You know,
like him and Gershon at this point, like, what are you guys still doing?
I know. Danny is definitely thinking long term with that Yabusul stuff because he guaranteed next year's contract. He must know that a deal is happening and he needs Yabu because he is totally punting a roster spot this year to do it. So,
yeah.
I mean, he's my favorite cheerleader.
Yeah, and Twitter loves his ass, but I'm you know, I'm too over that shit, so. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Brad is...
Maybe Danny likes his ass. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know either.
Hey, whatever Danny wants to do. No, you know.
I just find it hard to believe that, like, you know, Yabu is better than, I don't know, shit. Rob Williams was in Maine. Now we got Hunter in Maine. I don't know. I think it's... Are there any free agents out there? That there's got to be something better than Yabu.
I think there's Gortat.
Gortat is out there.
No one picked him up.
I know.
I'd like it. He's a good screen setter.
Yeah, he's legit.
Screen setter and runs the. He used to run the floor decently, but yeah. I don't know if defensively he's really it. But whatever. I mean,
he gets boards. Yeah. He gets boards. Well, we need that.
We are missing Aaron Baines so bad.
So bring up the stat you mentioned to me off air.
All right. So. In games in which Aaron Baines has been hurt, which is his foot has been the thorn in the side of Celtics fans like I, who appreciate and love the bearded man that is Aaron Baines. I don't know when he plays 15 minutes a game, the Celtics are 15-2. In games where he doesn't play 15 minutes or more, if he plays 14 minutes or less, they do not have a very good record. I believe they are two games above 500 in those games. Maybe even less than that. So, Aaron Baines is legit our bread and butter. He is the unsung hero. He is this year's Marcus Smart. Yeah. In which, just him being on the court puts you in such a better position to win. It's not even funny.
It's the rim protection is really where I feel it. I mean, he does everything, but the rim protection is another level.
The rim protection, the rebounding is a decent rebound. Not the best rebounder, but he's the best rebounder on our team.
Screen setting, he can space the floor now.
He's a big body. He's an intimidating big body. He will do the dirty work. And for big men, we don't. We have Al, and then we have a bunch of forwards playing the power forward position. We don't have another center on the team. Rob Williams, you know, I think Rob Williams needs to develop a little bit more because I know that.
Yeah, he's been hurt too. I mean, Rob's hurt. He's thinking better backs thing. But No, so this kind of piggybacking off of our last pod where I had also mentioned that Baines is clearly being shown as sneaky, one of the most important Celtics, you know, on the whole roster. I mean, what it comes down to is you can't just throw an all-star team out there and you're starting five, or even like just throw an all-star team out there. It has to be parts that complement each other. And what Baines brings is that toughness. He'll get yammed on sometimes, but he will contest anybody. Anybody that comes down the lane, he's there. Plus, he can stretch the floor a little bit. He can hit the three. He hits threes. I mean, and the 15-2 with Baines, you can't argue that. I mean,
and here's some more stats. Here's the actual tweet. I just found it by Sean Grande, or Grand, or however he says it. In 2018-19, when Aaron Baines plays 15 minutes or more, the Celtics are 15-2. When he plays 0 to 14 minutes, they are 22-21. When Baines is on the floor, the defensive rating of this team is a 97.9.
Which is insane. Is
very, very good. The thing with this, Rudy Gobert won the defensive player of the year last year. His defensive rating was 99.
Yeah.
So when he is off the floor, guess what their defensive rating is off the floor?
113.
Not that bad. 106, which is pretty bad. I think Terry Rozier's defensive rating this year is 104. So they are worse than Terry Rozier when he is off the floor, and they are better than Gobert when he is on the floor defensively.
Yeah, so we need Baines back. So I
need Baines now.
We need Baines back. But we really need Baines come playoff time. And we need to shorten the bench. Which means if we're going out on Terry, so we're out on Terry, and you're shortening your bench even more, I think been whispers of it, and I hate it, but you need a backup point guard, and we like Wanamaker, but come playoffs, is that who you want to be, your backup point guard? Or do you stay Marcus. Bench Marcus?
Yeah, I know. I think if you don't bench him, you just take him out in the first sub
just divvy out him and Kyrie's minutes. You can do that, so you can still play, start the game with them. You can finish the game with him, but you can just divvy out their minutes.
All right, I'm with
it. And I think Gordon can play the point in the second unit. You could see even Al do it sometimes.
Yeah, they run the offense through Al. Gordon's definitely brought the ball up. I mean, it's interesting, you know, then you have Baines, whether or not you start him, I don't know if they'll necessarily start him, but you certainly will have him come off the bench and, you know, play it on matchups. You know, if you're going up against Embiid and all them, you know, or even Giannis, because they're both interior just monsters. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what Brad does here, because, I mean, it's not as cut and dry as we thought, like where we have all these stars and it's you know, when you set this lineup, you kind of got to look at more than just who's the best players. You got to look at look at the numbers that you just brought up, and is maybe Baines, you know, he was starting Baines, you know, was it last year or 2 years ago?
Last year.
So, I mean, it seems like forever ago, man.
Yeah.
But so clearly Brad sees value in starting Baines too. So I'm interested to see if they do that, move Al to the four and, you know, just Morris out, and then you could either go Jalen. I mean, it's a lot of moves he could make.
I will give both of my feet to Aaron Baines if he wants them.
Is that what he has, the planters thing there?
He has, like, a something with his foot. It's his foot contusion, I think. It was a wicked bad foot contusion.
Right.
I would give my foot to Aaron Baines in a heartbeat. I will go footless for the rest of my life if that meant Aaron Baines could play tomorrow.
It's dedication right there.
That is dedication. So since you did, I won't. So would that be plus, I don't know if my size 10 foot next to his size 18 would be weird.
I mean, if you put two of them together.
I mean, I got a size 14. I got a pretty big shoe. So
there you go. So
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is 8-Bit Ray from the Gorilla Brain Podcast, part of the Pulse Podcast Network. Did you know that you could be using this spot to advertise your company or business? Well, I've done the research, and PodcastInsights.com report that podcast listeners are loyal, affluent, and mostly college educated. But most importantly, are 5 times more likely to interact with the ad they hear on their favorite podcast than an ad from any other medium. If you would like to advertise your company or brand with our network, it's simple. All you have to do is send an email to marketing@pulsepodcastnetwork.com. I'll say it one more time. marketing@pulsepodcastnetwork.com. And we hope to hear from you soon.
How do you guys feel about Tice getting closer to the end of this season and come playoff time?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I agree. Tice. I loved him last year. Dude, he's undersized. Extremely.
Here's the thing. I love Daniel Tice. I do like myself some Daniel Tice. He is great when he plays like 8 to 10 minutes. He's perfect. He is lengthy. He can stretch the floor a little bit. He can rebound the ball all right. Once he plays like 12 to 15 to 18 minutes, I don't think there's a person on this planet I want out of this country more than Dan.
Terry Rozier, but go on.
That's true.
Both of them. I just want them to be packaged up and sent somewhere out sometime. But so no, I love Tice.
I like Tice.
But like he's undersized, like you said, Brendan. He's just undersized. You know, you saw that right around Christmas time when he had to play Embiid and then he had to play Capella. And then he had to play, I think, someone else, Bam Adebayo.
That is rough.
And Whiteside. He got legit moved around like he was nothing. And I don't know. It's just, when he plays, like, it's just like Baines. Like, when Baines plays a lot, we're great. When Tice doesn't play, like, when he plays his certain specific 8 to 10 to 12 minutes at most, he is great for this team. It provides.
And that should be his role, though. I mean, if we're healthy, we can move Morris to the bench. Yeah. You've got Baines. We need Baines back, and then you could even mix in some Williams if you're getting like crushed down low. Yeah. So I think that's not necessarily a bad spot. You can play, you know, Rob Williams somewhere between 5 to 10 minutes, depending upon matchups. Tice about 10 minutes. Baines is the 15 to 20, and then from there you just your stars. You know, I mean, at this point, I consider Smart a star. I mean, Jalen's fringe. And then you've got, you know, Kyrie, Tatum, Horford. Like, you've got all the studs. Gordon, I still believe in Gordon, but I was hoping he'd come back from the All-Star break. You know, I know he only played the one game and his first game back. Yeah, so, but, man, it just seems like every time I go to talk about Gordon, I'm like, yeah, but.
Yeah.
So like eventually you're like, dude, just do it. But I know it's tough to be patient when you got a player like Hayward and you know how good he can be.
Yeah, especially when you're from Massachusetts. You're not patient. It's been like 4 weeks of the championship. I'm trying to get high.
I know, right? Well, the Celtics, it's been a little bit more of a drought. Yeah. You know,
talking. Yeah, 10 years. I remember, yeah.
Over 10 years. And one championship in 30 years, so that's not great. So we're due here. We need but
you know, our turn. Our turn. Boston fans don't get anything.
Yeah. I know.
You get nothing.
But yeah, we'll see what's to come here. I mean, so, what's the next game? In Toronto? Jesus.
Yeah. We play them pretty well, but on the road. Do. I'm nervous to say the least. But Toronto's thing, they just moved Gasol into the starting lineup. But Toronto's thing seems to be that they go through these droughts when they play really good defensive teams of not being able to score for 5 minutes. And they just try to iso Kawhi. But I think that could be different with Gasol now.
So I'm not necessarily a fan of the whole Gasol thing. They have Ibaka. They have Siakam, and then they have Kawhi as like your four, as your front court. To try to like, I guess having too much is not a problem, but I don't know. He's kind of looked old, and I don't know. I just liked what they had going on.
I like him as a nice complimentary piece. I feel like because his play style is very similar to Al in the fact that like he's a really, they run the offense through him a lot, at least they did in Memphis. Like he's a really good passer, one of the best for his size. Like I think he's a better rebounder than Al. I don't think he's as mobile as a defender. Obviously he said he's getting old, but he's still a pretty good paint presence. I think he just gives more than Valanciunas did. where Valanciunas is more of a Baines role.
I mean, are you going to bench Ibaka, Siakam, or Leonard? Like, how are you going to – I don't know.
I mean, they were – what were they doing? They were running Ibaka, and then they were benching Valanciunas. I mean, Ibaka looks a little – hasn't – you know, obviously hasn't done what he did in OKC. I actually don't know exactly how well Ibaka's been doing.
He's been all right, actually. He's pretty good.
This has been like his comeback year almost. He's played really good at the starting five.
He hasn't been as good as Siakam, though. Siakam's been a stud.
No, that guy should have been an all-star over Lowry.
That was so ridiculous.
That was my least favorite all-star selection.
Yeah, Kyle Lowry definitely is up there.
Ibaka has been doing well. Look at Cody not knowing his shit.
Right after Toronto, so we're in Toronto, tough game. Then we got the Blazers. It's at home, but it's literally next day. And Portland is 15-5 against the East. Just been killing it. Portland has been I'm a Lillard guy though.
And then next week we have Houston, and then we have Golden State, then the Lakers.
Yeah. And we still have Indiana twice. We have Philly in there. We have Denver. We have the eighth hardest schedule.
And the beard. Don't forget about the beard. And at Sacramento, West Coast trip. Sacramento's in the young up and coming team. Has looked good of late. This is a very tough schedule. Fun fact, that day
is my birthday.
I will probably go to that game.
At Sacramento, the 6th. Shaquille O'Neal's birthday is that day. And Marcus Smart.
Oh, man.
Ah, nice.
A bunch of goats.
So we will definitely remember March 6th to give shout-outs. But, yeah, man, the schedule for the Celtics is very difficult. Like, if we think it's going to get easy, it's not. Like, they're going to have to really up their game. They're going to have to up their game, dude.
At the very end of the season, if we look at the end of March, we have Cleveland, Miami twice, a Magic team, a Nets team. Those are winnable games, but Miami had our number.
I don't know anything.
Miami had our number.
Anytime I pencil in a win, we don't just get beat, we get like smoked. So I'm like, what the fuck?
No, we were saying that earlier on before we went on, that the Celtics play to their competition, whether it's up or whether it's down.
Yeah, that seems to be a lot of the it's really with the Celts. And even when we play up to our competition, we lose heartbreakers. It's like the Lakers game. I don't know if we necessarily played up to them, but like that, the Celtics should have won that game. Yeah.
And I hated that Orlando game.
Yeah, the Orlando game. Oh, the
both of them.
That
actually.
Last play. I know the last. I mean, Orlando has our number. It's crazy, but I mean,
like we lost to the Warriors by 4 points, and then we won against the Cavaliers by like 6 points.
You know? I know it's crazy. It's like trying to get a read on the Celtics is fun because it
gives you an aneurysm.
I know. I have no idea what to expect. And like I keep waiting for like the Celtics to make a push and become a top four seed because, well, I mean, Indy, since they've lost Oladipo, is 8-2 in their last 10. So that makes sense.
Yeah, and that's the only team in the top of the East that has a more difficult schedule than us going forward. So that gives me some hope that we can get a top four seed.
Indy's 8-2 in their last 10. I mean, God. Oh, what the hell?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I mean, it's looking like the Celtics are going to be in a 4-5 seed. Again, I'm not totally predicting this, but it looks like that's where they're heading.
Well, and I still think that we're, 12-4 in our last 16? It's like we went on a crazy run and then had those really two bad LA games and then these back-to-back losses. But weirdly, we are kind of playing our best ball.
Well, after that Chicago game,
that was probably the worst loss.
If you go back enough, it over the last, say, 20, they've been pretty decent. But, I mean, this is tough, man. I mean, if you're the 5 seed and you got to go – if we do end up with the 5 seed, we hope Philly passes Indy and we can get Indy without Depot, even if it's on the road for possible Game 7 if that happens. But I think we could handle Indy with no Depot.
Yeah.
I think we could handle Philly too, but like you'd prefer to avoid them the first round just to I mean, I want Philly because of the rivalry and because of the shit talk and everything else.
I would love
to
knock them off round one.
I'd imagine just knocking them out round one. You know what? Fuck it. Let Indy keep it up. Let Philly be the 4 seed. We'll be the 5 seed, and we'll just crush. We'll crush Philly's dreams there with their whole super squad that isn't not doing much better than the Celtics. By the way, we're both 6-4 in our last 10. So,
but the next round we got Milwaukee. And then Eastern Conference Finals, we got Toronto.
I'm not scared of Milwaukee. Are you scared? I'm not scared.
No, but I mean, if we have to play Philly, Milwaukee, and Toronto, and then go to the finals, that's rough.
That's a tough road, but you know, it's the playoffs. I mean, it's you get 7 games. If you're the better team, you usually pans out on a 7-game series. So I do think the Celtics on paper are a better team than the other teams in the East. They're just not putting it together in the regular season, whether it's because of injuries, whether it's because of other stuff. It's tough to really put your thumb on it on why exactly this team is underperformed.
What's your guys' percentages that this team still makes the finals?
50.
Okay. That's about where I got it.
Yeah, it's 50-50, and that's actually a homer because I'm sure that the actual Vegas odds are less.
Because, I mean, if you think about the top three teams, like, we kind of own Philadelphia. The Raptors are a bunch of chokers. And Milwaukee, do they have the team for it?
Yeah, so Milwaukee, yeah, I mean, again, before the season I said, East Celtics, Eastern Conference Finals. So I'm certainly not wavering now, but yeah,
538 has a 10% chance of the Celtics making the finals.
Yeah, so that's them being, you know, basing it off of. But what do they give the Pacers? You know what? Let me just see. What do they give the Pacers? Who have like
less
much
than 1%? Less than 1%.
Really? Even though they have a better record?
No, yeah, and Philly only has 9, but Toronto's at 37, Milwaukee's at 44.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I could see Milwaukee being the favorite. I definitely can see that. And I can see Toronto and Philly. But man, I'm trying to decide between Toronto, Philly, Celtics.
I guess they didn't take account to Lowry shooting, getting 9 points a game on 14% shooting in the playoffs. So
Oof.
They don't take that into account, I guess. Oh, he's so bad in the postseason. Why?
And my thing with the Bucks is that they're one of the deepest teams, but I don't think it's playoff depth. I think there's 3 guys that they play now that they won't be seeing in the playoffs.
Yeah, so I mean it's also scheduled too. I mean that certainly helps. And just looking at that, man, the Philly's been struggling. They have not looked great either, dude. Yeah, they got smoked at home against Portland, who I just said is a tough matchup on a back to back. Portland's been really good. You know, they might have like their own little big three there with Norkic, I don't know how to pronounce it, Norkic, McCollum, and obviously Lillard, who is Lillard, this is a fun debate that outside of Boston, maybe people won't like, but is Lillard maybe underrated and kind of as good as Kyrie? I mean, look at this guy's track record. He didn't play with LeBron, so he didn't get to go to the NBA Finals, so I can't just say, oh, well, Kyrie's won a championship. Hey, played with LeBron and a healthy Kevin Love. I mean, Damian Lillard has been, and you talk about money time. You know, Kyrie's a big-time, big-shot player. So is Lillard. Lillard's made his bread and butter on that. So I'm a big Lillard guy. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you could tell.
I like Lillard. I still think Kyrie's better. I feel like defensively, that's where it comes down, where Lillard is probably
I don't think either is.
But Kyrie's not that bad. Like, he's okay defensively, but, like, Lillard's like a wet paper bag. Like, I'd rather throw out a bag of Cracker Jacks at point than Lillard at some points.
I mean, we'll see, because every regular season Portland does this. Because last year, what were they, like,
To be fair, I didn't have them making the playoffs this year. And they're, what, 5 seed right now? 6 seed?
They are the 4 seed right now.
Yeah. 4 seed.
Yeah, they're the
wow.
4 seed, and they're But again, in the West, you lose a couple games in a row, you drop to the 8th. So it's crazy. The West is super tight. But again, Lillard just is one of those money players. And again, Norsic, even though Ben Simmons was like, you know, you're ass or trash or whatever he says. Dude, look at his numbers. He's been a stud.
Yeah, it's been a really good year for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable that that he would see. Of all the players to say it about, you pick one of the players who's actually having a career year and is, what's he, for the year he's averaging 15, 10, 3 assists, and, you know, 51% field goal percentage. But he doesn't play a ton of minutes because they got that kid Myers Leonard and who's the other guy? They play Aminu a little Collins. Bit, but yeah, Collins. So yeah, they've got just Collins and Leonard. They remind me of each other.
Yeah, talking on the West. Who's your number two team come playoffs? Not seeding wise, but just best team.
I'm sticking with OKC, but Houston's
those are the two for me.
Those are the two options, I think. I mean, I know Denver's got the record, but
nah, I might be being disrespectful to these guys, but I think they got a good chance of being a big upset round one.
It depends who they get. I mean, it's all matchup, actually, but let me take a look at right now if the season ended.
They would play the Spurs.
Yeah, that's not great for them. Spurs.
No, I think even if they saw like a Sacramento or something, like they're really young. I mean, I just don't know how this playoffs is going to go for them. And I think that defensively is where they've really been surprising this year. They were supposed to be one of the worst defensive teams, and they've stepped up, but they've really fallen back down a little bit recently. And I think that could really screw them come playoffs. And a lot of it was that they weren't healthy.
They're one game back of the Warriors, by the way.
Yeah, which is crazy.
I know.
Which makes me really hesitate to say that stuff, but I'm not buying it.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying similar. I would say if they get – it all depends. If they got, like, the Jazz in a matchup, that's an interesting matchup. You know, Gobert and Jokic and, you know, Mitchell versus – Jesus, I'm blanking here. But, no, they got Rubio, right?
The Nuggets?
Yeah. No, not the Nuggets. Mitchell. Utah has Rubio. Mitchell versus, Mitchell and Murray. That's what I meant to say, Mitchell Murray. But, yeah, I mean – I still think the Nuggets probably get through the first round. You would think, but you never know, dude. I mean,
yeah,
it's a lot. There's still a lot of basketball left, and OKC could catch them. I mean, technically the Blazers might, but and the Rockets are finally healthy, but they're kind of they're one game back from the eighth seed. So I mean, the from five through even four through eight, it's just super tight.
Yeah.
I mean, the Lakers, oh my God, the Lakers might not make the playoffs. You got to be shitting me.
A lot of people said that before the season, too, but I was like, no way, dude. But
I said no way. I was like, but LeBron was hurt for a month and a half.
Yeah.
And that mattered, dude. That mattered a lot. And when
hurt
he came
or
back,
filming Space Jam.
Exactly. He's been filming movies. I mean, anybody that thought, like, oh, LeBron's coming in for basketball reasons, like, what the fuck makes you think that?
He has a game show. How many freaking movies does he produce? Yeah, like, I see random commercials that says directed by LeBron James. I'm like, what is going on?
I know.
Ed, with all of that, and he goes, I don't know if everyone is 100% dedicated to basketball.
I lost my mind.
I was throwing things. I was laughing. I was like,
Ed, what is he doing?
This guy is just Jesus.
No, I'm with you, dude. Like, I'm a big LeBron fan. I'm just a fanboy with him. He's, you know, the old saying, it's more than basketball. It really is with him. But don't try to, like, throw your teammates under the bus that they're, like, not focused on basketball when you went to the Lakers to produce and be a Hollywood player, which is fine, but, like, don't, like,
and he said he was going to be patient.
You should own it. You got to own it. And, like, that's stupid. That doesn't make sense. Yeah. So I would say to LeBron, you went to the – this is my ongoing theory. I've been saying it forever. Come next trade deadline, if the Lakers are still not – are in the same position they are now, not able to land anybody, can't make any trade – they're, you know, 9-8 territory as far as seeding. At what point do either the Lakers or LeBron say, this isn't working. I got to get out of here. That'll be a fun story when it happens, but just remember that I met first.
Yeah, and after they don't make playoffs this year, the talk of it should be top 16 seeding no matter conference, because they technically would be in playoffs right now if it was East.
I mean, he can say that all he wants. Sub 500 team, so it's not like, oh yeah, you're good. Yeah. You just missed the playoffs.
Just media, and if LeBron doesn't make it.
And again, if Lonzo Ball doesn't get traded, you don't get AD. You know, Kawhi doesn't go to the Lakers. Doesn't sound like he's gonna anyways. But I mean, who is another guy that the Lakers were like penciling in outside of AD right now? Because I don't think they're getting AD. Because their best shot was
Clay's been a big one.
I don't think he's leaving Golden State.
No,
I just don't see why he would.
Neither do I. A lot of people were saying that. Clay was him. One.
Draymond. Basically, they're going to get fucking 777. That's what they're going to get, Draymond.
Hey, he did just sign with Clutch Sports.
I know he did.
Which is weird.
And it's it's not weird. He wants to get paid. He's won his chips. He's already hated. He's kind of been exposed as a good player. Like, don't get me wrong. If you put him on the Celtics, he would help them win. But if you put him on, you know, the Lakers, it's not a good enough team for him to make a difference.
No, I don't. I mean, definitely people don't like Draymond, but I would say I don't think you guys are going to like this, that he's the smart of that team.
Not as good as
Smart. I agree.
I mean, it's not a bad comparison, by the way. Like, if Marcus Smart has a similar career to Draymond, you know, championships and is that guy that everybody hates, I'll fucking take that all day.
Yeah.
But is he as good as Marcus right now? I don't think so. No.
I think it's more the fact that, like, he does the little – he makes the championship-type plays.
Yeah, it's the winning plays.
He gets the dive balls. He gets the loose balls. He plays 145% whenever he's there.
Yeah.
He will – make you want to hate yourself every time he takes a three half the time. But other than that, like, that's a really good comparison. I'm not saying, like, you know, their numbers equate and they play the same way and, you know, they're exactly the same on skill level, but they make every team, every good team has that
so player. When it comes to Draymond,
you know, Tony Allen's the,
yeah. See, I don't think Draymond's on that level. I'm kind of overrated. Really? I think Klay is on that level. Klay is one of the best every playoffs you see it. When there's a player, they put Klay on that player to try to slow him down on ball defending. I think Klay is that guy. I love Klay.
I think, like Cody was saying, the hustle guy is Draymond.
No, he's definitely the hustle guy, but I don't think he's the on ball or the good a defender as the Marcus Smarts, Klay, the Drew Holidays. He's not.
Draymond,
I know those are all
pretty good defense.
I think he can guard 1-5.
Used to be. Ugh. I don't know if he is anymore. He's just kind of, it's not my, and it also helps that, like, he's surrounded by great defensive players. Like, say what you want about Durant, his length alone makes him an unbelievable defender. Then Klay, I obviously think, is an exceptional defender.
No, I agree with that. I think Klay's dope.
So the other day, I put out a tweet saying that Draymond is to that Warrior team what Rondo was to the old Celtics. And that argument that you just said of him being surrounded by great players was the exact same thing that people threw at Rondo.
See, I think that's a better example, actually. Because I think Rondo was a good defender, but he was allowed to cheat a lot. Like, especially in that last game against the Lakers where he had, like, six steals, like in the finals. Like, he was obviously, like, was he a second-year player at that point? He was still very young, but he was starting, and he just kind of had a field day just being like, all right, I mean, I'm just going to go balls to the wall here and just try to steal everything. I'm Rondo. Like, I'm on this team, I'm not, like, irreplaceable. And it worked out beautifully. But I think that's a pretty solid comparison as far as making the plays where he doesn't necessarily care if it's a foul on him. If they don't call it, he looks like a star. That's just my take from that.
So is Smart already better than Rondo?
Ooh.
No.
So, no. I don't.
No.
I don't know.
I think he gets there.
Depends on your definition of better. So on a great team, yeah, I'd rather Smart than Rondo. on an okay team, prime Rondo, especially remember that series he went against D Rose and they just battled, and Rondo even had a 40-point game in that first round. We got eliminated that series. Do you remember this?
Yeah, Rondo made me fall in love with that team.
Yes. So that team, they got eliminated to D Rose and the Bulls, but Rondo had like a 40-point, you know, game, a couple triple doubles. Him and D Rose just battled. So prime Rondo was better than Smart. But again, if I'm trying to win a championship and I'm surrounded by like great players, I'm taking Smart every time.
So, what else do we got coming up here?
Oh, what else do we got coming up here? I don't even know, man.
I think we kind of touched on most of it, right?
Yeah, I think we touched on most things. I mean, you know, I'm still waiting for that bio market that I heard was going to be great. It did appear to be
I'm
great.
So upset. I am so upset with that bogus bio market. We didn't
I know. It's like, which one? Key for Cantor. And they're like, how about neither? Shit. So
legit. I was so upset.
I wanted Keith bad, dude. I'm telling you, Keith can play, but Cantor's been okay too for Portland. Already getting into fights and shit, so that's fun.
Wait, did Deadman get bought out?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
And if he did, Celtic right now.
Yeah.
I know, I would take Deadman too. Deadman's solid.
I love that.
He's a solid big man. You know, and he doesn't have any ego or anything. Like, he's Deadman, so.
Yeah, I would have loved the other Morris brother.
Yeah, I wanted Keith bad. I wanted him bad. That was my guy. But, you know, he went to OKC. There must have been a reason behind it. Because I'm sure, given the opportunity to play with your twin, he would have been all for it. Something, whether it's salary cap or – there's got to be some reason that the Celtics aren't really in on these guys.
Damn. All I know is that if Dwayne Dedman's a free agent right now and he is not wearing Celtics green right now, I am writing a very strongly worded letter to Wick. Right to Wick. Wick and Danny are getting a piece of my mind.
But we don't have the wrong spot. We've got Yabo and Shemi.
Yeah, get rid of them. Win games. Win games.
Let me pull up a quick list of free eight. See if anybody pulls up here right now.
Yeah, I think Chandler Parsons just started playing, but there's Melo. I
don't want Chandler Parsons.
Yeah, and I don't want Melo.
I don't want Melo.
Jeff Green's on this list.
He's a big man. Is he really out there? Oh.
Who's out there?
Jeff Green. Bring him back.
Jeff Green.
Oh.
No, thanks.
No, I'm good.
What are you looking for? I'm probably looking for a big, right?
Though Jeff Green can shoot it a little bit. Yabu and Shemi, but I mean, maybe there's reason. Someone can explain to me that those guys.
You could bring back Greg Monroe.
Is he available again?
Yeah,
he is.
All right,
Zach Randolph got bought out, but he's fat.
He was a do not play all season, so I don't
He'd be the weed man for the Celtics.
Yeah, he might be retiring. He might be retiring. So
we can replace Terry with Terry. Jason Terry, that is.
Oh, God.
No,
I'd take Tessa Gosich over him.
Yeah, no, thank you. Is he available?
But apparently he's headed overseas.
I'm kidding.
We can take Jameer
Nelson.
Jeez. Are you looking at a retired list?
Nelson, dude. Oh, man.
Bill Johnson's on the list, so it might be.
I got Michael Carter Williams, Nick Young.
Wow, Ben McLemore.
Yeah.
Ben McLemore.
Oh, we can get Ray Allen, yeah. Just get him.
Oh, God.
We'll see Ray Allen.
So there's a big rumor that the Rockets made him an offer.
No way he comes
back.
McLemore
or actual Ray Allen?
Ray Allen.
Oh, like legit Ray Allen? Yo.
Yeah.
Get the 4-point line. Let's go. Get it.
I know, right? I mean, after seeing Robin kill the Celtics. I mean, shit. If he's available,
yeah. I think Kaminsky,
a big man. No, I don't think Kaminsky's gonna get bought out.
Wesley Matthews.
Oh no, he got picked up by Indiana because he wanted a starting spot.
Oh, that's right. Oh yeah, fuck him. Who else we got? Yeah, hold on.
See, like a Channing Frye, Bender. Who, by the way, has one of the coolest names in the league. Dragon Bender.
Dragon Bender. I know. It's not a fucking show.
Yeah.
Omri Caspi. Is he available?
I believe he is. I see him here.
I feel like I'm at the end of a fantasy draft where I was just drinking and not paying attention, and I'm just yelling names.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yelling. Yeah, Omri Caspi. Abrinas, yeah. I mean.
Oh, no, but he had a personal situation that he didn't play all year.
No. Michael Beasley. Did he already go to China?
He is in China.
Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah, so, I mean, this is, again, we're just kind of throwing stuff at the wall. This is probably the team you're going to see for the rest of the year and live and die with it. And just, like, you know, when you come to the playoffs and you're short in the bench, you know, and you just kind of got to game plan Terry out.
Yeah.
And just deal with what we got here. I mean, we still got a pretty solid rotation even without Terry, assuming everyone's healthy. But, yeah, I mean, it's very interesting to see if this is just where we're going to be stuck in this fifth seed. I think a 3 seed would be a win. 4th seed would be nice. But it seems like this 5th seed with this upcoming schedule might be our destiny. I would have never guessed before the season this team would be a 5th seed. So, yeah. I mean, Brad's not on the hot seat, but this is really the first time where he's facing some real adversity as far as, you know, not meeting expectations. There's no way you can look at Brad Stevens if they end up the 5th seed and be like, oh, but he did a good job. I can't see it.
Yeah, it's the first time I've really questioned him.
Yeah, I mean, it's fair. I mean, he's sticking with Terry to a fault now. He's, yeah, I mean, again, the defense that the team was known for has kind of lapsed, especially on the road. I mean, the road numbers are atrocious, so. You know, that's kind of where the team was kind of made their bread and butter the last couple of years, being that scrappy team on the road that would win games you didn't expect, and now they're losing games you wouldn't expect. So, I don't know, go figure. But it's still a lot of season left, and we'll see where this how this ends up.
Yeah, if Terry Rozier and Yabu Sele both disappear, someone find Cody.
Yeah. Someone get me.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Again, Yabu is pretty thick, though. I don't know if you want that. But yeah, guys, I think we can wrap it up here. It's been fun, and we'll do this again later in the week when we see how they do against this tough upcoming schedule. Man, this schedule, this is going to show a lot here because they got the cream of the crop coming up the next couple weeks here. So we'll. We'll see here, but again, thank you for thank you everybody for listening to Celtics Pulse, and also to any of our fantasy players, we do have a promotion with All Fantasy Sports. It's called. It's kind of a new thing. It's different. So if you're into fantasy sports but kind of bored with the everyday, you know, drafting one lineup and everything, this is a season long every sports, and it's a season long one time buy in. If you use the promo code Pulse, you'll get $10 off. So, you know, check it out if you're looking for something different in your fantasy ventures. But yeah, guys, do you have anything to add before we hit the road here?
Hot take, Cody?
I don't know, but I think I'm 0 for my last 4 because I think my hot take last time was Celtics win 10 right out of the All-Star break, and they are 0-2. But I need one because that's the thing. What do we go with? Well, I think we beat Toronto by 12 plus.
Okay.
I mean, I think we might beat Toronto, but I don't know if we beat them by more than. It's in Toronto, right?
Yeah.
And I think Kyrie Irving drops 20 in the fourth quarter alone.
Okay. That'd be fun. We haven't seen one of those fourth quarters yet. We've seen. You know, he's had a couple games where he had some big quarters, but not a fourth quarter, so that's fun. Let's go with that. And, I think the hot take would be that I do expect the Celtics to beat the Raptors, even though they've looked like shit against the Bulls, but we'll see.
Also, Aaron Baines, if you're listening, my feet are available whenever. Just hit me up.
Yeah, he's on the he's on the organ donor. You can check his license. You just have to kill him first, and you can have his feet.
If you need the shin down, I will give you the shin, too. I have pretty sturdy shins. So.
Shins, there you go.